You may be seated. I lost a dear friend this past week. It was actually last Sunday. I was over at Sardinia Prez to preach, and I was looking to see what time it was on my phone, and I got a text that Lewis Harrison is with the Lord from his little sister, Mary Jo Christopher. And some of our families have been connected to Mary Jo Christopher's grandson, Martin Tiller, who runs Event Rentals at Clemson. It was his uncle, his great uncle, who passed away. And he was a prayer warrior for me. Many people pray for me, and I know many here pray for me. This dear man in his close to 90, he was 89 years old, when he would hurt the most is when he would pray the most for others. It's an amazing thought. And I was thinking as I got to participate in the funeral last Wednesday that he has seen the face of Jesus. He knows what he looks like. You know, and he's with some of our loved ones that have gone before us that belong to Christ. And they are loving him and they're loving each other. And that's a neat thought for me as we have this opportunity to be in here where many of our brothers and sisters who worship in here have gone to be with Jesus. And they are seeing him face to face and they are worshiping him. I said this about Lewis. He's now worshiping him in a pure way with no distractions, no critical heart, no issues, no me-centeredness. He is worshiping in the way that God has created us to worship him. And we've been dealing with that in Exodus chapter 20. And if you take your Bibles out and turn to Exodus chapter 20, and I think there's some Bibles that have been placed around on the pews especially, maybe not as much on the white chairs, but that you would see God's Word. And if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take one of these home with you. We're hoping to replace those Bibles soon, but we don't want you not to have a Bible, so just take it if you don't have a Bible and you're here today. We're going to read, we're going to start in verse 1 and read all 12 verses, but obviously our focus will be the fifth commandment in verse 12. And children especially, sometimes you can come to church and you think it's only for adults, and that's not true. That's a lie from Satan. He wants you to think that way. But today you're going to see in a very clear way that God sees you and he has called you to certain things in light of your salvation. So chapter 20, verse 1 through 12. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And now verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father God, as we turn our attention to the fifth commandment, remind us, O God, of the first four. And that, Lord, we ask that it matters to us what you have to say. Father, it is impossible for us to be right with each other as we get into the second part of the commandments, the second table of the law. It is impossible for us to be right with each other if we're not right with you first. We ask, Father, that you would help us in that area. to be right with you. And we thank you for your holy word. And make it matter in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read you one more passage, if you don't mind holding your place in Exodus, and go to Ephesians. We see this commandment echoed, the 12th commandment echoed in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. Here it says, the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We live in a tolerant culture. Tolerate everything. You need to be tolerant. But we live in a culture that shows no tolerance for the aging, for those that are getting older. No tolerance for honoring the authority that God has placed over us. It seems to be that the message in the world today, and you kids probably can vouch for it in the context of your friendships and your peers and what you're seeing and what you're hearing, that rebellion is the way to go. You being the boss of your life is the way to go. You doing whatever that pleases you is the better way. And God says, no, it's not. And we don't have to look far to see it play out, do we? I remember taking my children to the playground, and we would have those dynamics that would take place on the playground, and the kids would relate to each other, and you would watch that, and you worry about that as parents, is how are these kids going to relate to my kids, and how are my kids going to relate to them? Because we know our children are sinners, right? Hope you know that. A lot of times parents get all upset when anybody accuses their kid of anything. In reality, we shouldn't be shocked at it at all. We should expect to hear that our kid is doing something and get all the information before we defend our child and to protect their rights. But I remember with my children, as we'd go, they would notice a difference in the behavior on the playground. And even though parents were standing away, kids were doing things that were hurtful to each other, and the parents would not step in. They would not engage with their child. They would shrug it off or justify it. And they would see these things, and I would talk to my kids when I got home, not knowing those other children, saying, you see the difference between what it looks like when a parent rules over their children and watches over them and has authority over them and disciplines them, and you see what it looks like when they don't. We know our society, a lot of times people talk about the world getting worse and worse, and the world is no worse today than it was in the old days. Go back and read the Bible of all the filthiness and the perversions that are going on. It is true that our culture, our society is getting worse than it was in the older days. In some ways, maybe it's getting better. And what do you think is the key component to that? Why is there so much disrespect toward teachers? Why is there so much disrespect toward officers of the law or people of high up position? Now, part of it is because maybe leadership is weakened in our nation, but there's been a breakdown somewhere along the way, right? Our movies do so much to go out of their way, including the children movies that we let our children watch, that we say, oh, these are good movies, to belittle authority, to belittle the parents. Think of some of the children's movies you've watched. I remember watching movies with our kids, and we would have to spend time processing how they totally removed the parents from the equation. And there's a strategy from Satan in regards to these things. He wants to eliminate the family structure. And God says, God starts there. I mean, children, you ought to feel loved today. You say, oh, I hate this commandment. It tells me to honor my parents and obey them. That means I gotta, when they tell me to do something, I say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. And I can't, but listen, the first commandment that God gives in regards to how we relate to each other, he says, hey, kids, Hey, sons and daughters. Hey, children. I've talked about how I want everybody to relate to me, but now I'm going to start with the home. And I'm going to start with you children and how you relate to your parents. It's the first commandment with the promise. It's the first commandment of the second table of the law. We talked about the two tables of the law. You've got the first four commandments, which deal with what? How God expects His people to relate to Him. And then you have the last six that talk about how we're to relate to one another. And the first relationship structure that God addresses is what? It's the home. It's the family. It's the position of authority that God has placed. In the first table, the first part of the commandments, God says, I want you to honor my supremeness as God. I don't want there to be any other gods but me. I want you to honor me in that. He says, then in the second commandment, he says, I want you to honor me that you don't make idols to worship, but you worship me and my true spirit. You don't put up things to pray to or bow down to. Yeah, I want you to honor me in the way you speak my name, in the way you how you handle my name. I want you to honor me in regards to that. And then God says in the 4, I want you to honor this day that I've given to you as a provision of blessings for you to rest in my provisions. And we know now not only to rest in His provision of creation, but it rests in His provision of salvation. These two tables are summarized with the two great commandments in Deuteronomy that we read to the call of worship. You shall love the Lord your God. And then Matthew, when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? He summed it up, you shall love and honor the Lord your God, and you shall love and honor one another. And his starting point, kids, if you think it, all the stuff you're hearing about, you don't need to do what your parents tell you to. God says, no, that is the most important thing. In all relationships, it's the home. That's where I want to start with you. There's a few things I want us to note before we just get into the points of the sermon. God is making clear in His order of commandments that you cannot be right with each other unless you're first and foremost right with who? Amen. With Him, I think is what Bailey said. You can't be right with each other. You can't be right with your parents. Your parents can't be right with you. You can't be right with your spouse. You can't be right with your friendships. You can't be right in how you relate to others unless you're first and foremost are right with Him. You relate well with Him. Well, we say, well, we don't relate well with Him. Praise the Lord for a Savior. Praise the Lord that He did not leave us in that rebellion. But in His love and mercy, we have a Heavenly Father that sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be right with Him. And not only did He send His Son, but He has placed His Holy Spirit in us to respond. And we watch ourselves in our walk with Christ, in our relationship with God, becoming more of ones who want to treasure God alone and have no other things more important to Him. That we treasure His name, that we treasure that we don't have idols, and that we treasure His day. So that's the one important note. Another note is one another commands. When it comes to one another commands, the priority command is in the home. Why is that? Why is it that God says of all the relationships you have, one of the most important relationships are the children's relationship with parents and how they relate to each other? Another note is that these are guardrails. These are for our good. It's, you know, when you go, when you have a little kid and you have stairs and you have stuff. I remember we'd go to the beach and we had to put this net all around the upstairs railing so our children wouldn't fall through it. And God's given us His commands as a protection, as a guardrail for His people. But there's also a note we need to make that we can obey God's commands in action but not in our heart. Right? I'll take the trash out. Is that honoring your parents? I'll clean my room. It's important, the issue of the heart. That's why it's so important that we're right with God. Because when we're right with God, God does that work in us where He makes our heart submit as well. Or He convicts us of our sin when it doesn't. Maybe that's a way to put it, because we will fail at that sometimes. Another note before we get into this specific commandment is God's laws are perfect and are the best way. I'll tell you, one thing you ought to do is watch the people who seek to honor the Lord and seek to be right with Him through Christ, and then will try to be right with each other. Watch the fruits and blessings that come with that opposed to the ones who don't. I have been to funerals. I've been to weddings where that did not take place in relationships, and there was all this chaos and mess and heavy-heartedness. The last note I want to make is that it would be a big mistake to assume that you're good before God because you're keeping the second part of the law. There are some people, and I want y'all to hear this because we live in a culture of this in the South. There's some people think, well, if I honor my parents and love them and respect them, if I don't take from people, if I don't kill, if I don't covet, if I don't lie, if I honor people in all those areas, then I am a moral good person. And let me tell you, if it's not in Christ, if it's not about Christ, if it's not in relationship with God, it's not in relationship to who He is and what He's done, if there's no one anothering with God, it is temporary and it will lead you to the same place that those who reject and rebel against the Lord go. You do not get to heaven by obeying the last six commandments. Okay, so keep that in mind as we get into this. All right, so real quickly as we go to this commandment, I'll skip over for the sake of time on some of the things I wanted to say. The first point of the sermon is this. Children, God loves you so much. Charlotte Thompson was gathering you around to teach you truth about God's Word. Y'all are embracing truth. You're articulating it back to Him. Hopefully you're applying it to Him. When I saw Charlie, you know, it was Jesus who gathered the children to speak to them as they were still trying to figure out what does it mean to have a relationship with Christ, what does it mean to belong to Christ and God's promises in the Old and New Testament that I'll be a God to you and your children. He sits you down and says, don't keep these children from me. He starts with you and the role you play. Don't think that the role you play in the family is not important. It is crucial. And it's not only crucial for your family, but it impacts your community. It impacts your society. It goes on and on, but more important than all those things, your role has a powerful testimony of what God has saved you to do. But it's a specific command to you children. And He says, I want you to honor your parents. That word honor means to value them. Okay? That what they say carries weight. That means if your mom or dad says, do this, you do it, whether you agree with them or not. My dad was not a perfect father. My mom was not a perfect mother. But you know what they did? They pursued the Lord and how they related to Him. They, in light of their salvation, they grew in wisdom and they pursued the truth of God's Word. And there were times that my mom and dad told me to do stuff that I thought, man, they have not been this. They're not right about this. They're not right about that. I don't know. Maybe it's not biblically right. I didn't understand it. I didn't comprehend why it was important. It didn't click with me why it was important. But when my mom and dad said something, I did it. Because I saw their love for the Lord. But this commandment is to hold them with value and weight, but it doesn't say do that with parents that love the Lord. When Paul says, he said, children, obey your parents, not in the Lord when you think they're right. It doesn't say children, obey your parents when you think they're right. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the natural way that I've created the world to exist. Imagine if we didn't have the family structure. To value, to hold with weight what they have to say. Again, my dad was not a perfect dad. I could find reasons not to honor him. I could find reasons not to do what he tells me to do. And I could say, well, you don't do it. You didn't do this. But God says, listen, if you do that, I'm going to bless it. I hope you parents teach your kids not only with them to honor you, but to honor their teachers, to honor their coaches. It is a very difficult thing when you have kids play sports and they come home pouting about the coaches and how the coach didn't do this and the coach didn't do that. And I don't know why the coaches don't do this and I don't know what the coaches think here. And my goal as a parent is not to say, yeah, I don't know what they're doing, they're idiots. My goal as a parent is to encourage them to say, God has placed that coach over you to call the shots. Even if it means you don't play. Even if it means you don't get this or you don't get that. God has given them authority over you. You know why that's so important for me to support? Because I skipped over it, but all throughout Scripture, God talks about authority. Romans 13:1 says, all authority has been placed over you by God. There's not one authority that God has sovereignly placed over your life. And it says, when you honor that authority, he's talking about civil authority. When you honor that authority, you honor the God who put them in authority over you. But sometimes as parents, we kind of look at it, we say, oh, children honor us. They need to honor us even though we're not perfect. But they don't have to honor their other teachers and coaches when they're not perfect. You know what we do? We unintentionally sever our own leadership. Because we instruct our kids that honor authority unless you don't agree with them. And one day, you young parents, your sweet, darling kids will not agree with you. They will not think you're the smartest person in the world. And you can do all things. But it's your job to call them. So there's an explicit command to you children because God loves you. He says, listen, obey me and watch me bless it. We'll get into the blessing in a second. The second thing is the second point is there's, and I'm skipping over a lot of stuff for the sake of time. I'll go to the second point. It's an implicit, and they don't line up all E-I's. Explicit command to the children. There's an implicit command to parents. Now, implicit means, what does implicit mean? It means that it's inferred, it's implied. With reason and a good mind, you can figure out that this also includes you. And he's saying there's a command to these parents in regards. One, if you look back at the part that we read in chapter 20, it talked about important that fathers and mothers, parents, that they would honor the Lord in the four commandments. Parents, you can make it very difficult on your children to obey and honor you if you're not pursuing the obedience of the top four. God's called you to a purpose. He's called your children to honor you and to give you value and to give you weight even when you don't deserve it. They're called to obey you when you give them a command. But there's also a responsibility to parents. Parents, you're not equal to your students, your children. You're not peers to them. You're not their buddy. Okay? Now, one of the neat things about having kids growing up is you do, your friendship, your relationship changes. But God has given you a specific authority over them spiritually. He's given you a command to spiritually guide them and to lead them. And some parents might say, well, I don't want to bring my kids to be hypocrites. If they don't want to go to church, I'm not going to make them go to church. Well, you make them eat right, don't you? You just let them eat a Snicker bar or Reese's Pieces every lunch meal, whipped cream? Is that all you give them? Do you say, you don't have to go to school. I don't want you to be a hypocrite and go to school when you don't feel like it. You lead them to bed, don't you? You don't just say, stay up all night. You don't say, I don't want my kid to be a hypocrite and go to bed when they don't really want to. God has given you a distinct calling to be an authority in their life, specifically to train them up spiritually. Look at Deuteronomy 6, talk about Deuteronomy 5. Talk about it when you get up, when you go to bed. Talk about the Lord, instruct them. In Genesis, it was Abram who was told to teach his children to obey God. In the New Testament, if the Old Testament's outdated to you, which it shouldn't be, because God's the same today as he was yesterday. In the New Testament, in Ephesians, he said, in Timothy, he tells that if you want to be an elder or deacon, you must be able to rule your house. There's this aspect that God has given you parents, whether you deserve it or not, he's given you authority over your children. In fact, Paul says, hey, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't make it hard for them to honor you. In a sense, he's called you to be the mediator. And it doesn't mean like the mediator Christ is, who's the mediator between us and the Father, and he's the only mediator. He's not talking about that, but we're to be the mediators, not immediately change them, but mediated through the parents. We're to teach them and grow them up. We're the prophet, priest, and king. We're to mirror Christ. He's the real prophet, priest, and king, but we're to model that to our children, right? Are you not called to teach your children God's word, to proclaim God's word to them? Well, you're the prophet in your home. You've got like this microcosm of the kingdom of God. Your parents are called to speak the word to your children. You're called to pray for them, the priest who intercedes for them. You're called to pray for your children and pray that they would, and you're called to be kings, in a sense, and queens, authority figures in their life to rule over them. You dads, you really have been given more of even a more specific call to be the spiritual leaders in your houses. And it's hard for us dads to do that. There's all kinds of statistics that show that God blesses it when a dad takes on his spiritual leadership in his home. There's all kinds of wonderful statistics there. And obviously, I realized after my dad had died and got that time 6 months with my mom, how crucial the help she was in my dad's spiritual leadership and how much she, what huge 90% role she played in it. But you dads are called to verbally and physically lead your family spiritually. It says, just a few statistics, it says when both parents attend, so if they're not even talking about worship. It's saying if both parents attend study, in a Bible study in addition to Sunday service, 72% of their children attend Sunday school when grown up. Set when a dad and a mom both are committed to being under the teach word. We hear a lot about women's Bible studies. We hear a lot about women doing Bible studies and gathering for this and gathering for that. And we men need to do that too. We need to be in the word. If we're called to lead our, I told my sons the other day, I said, guys, one day you're going to be called to lead your home spiritually. And if you forfeit your preparation for that now, you will pay the price in the future. You will pay the price in the future when it comes to spiritual leadership. And it, another statistic, it says when only the father attends Sunday school, 55% of the children attend when grown. When only the mother attends Sunday school, 15% of the children attend when grown. When neither parent attends Sunday school, 6% of the children attend when they're grown. You see that both of them have an impact, but the father's role spiritually, God says, I've called you to lead your family spiritually. I've called you to make worship. Y'all know that the least day, one of the least days of gathering for worship is on Father's Day. It's the complete opposite with Mother's Day. Mother's Day is like third to Christmas and Easter. But in our culture, in our society, all the boys we hang out with, the least day one of the smallest attended church Sunday services is Father's Day in the context of the church as a whole. I don't know why that is, but that's telling that fathers are not taking on the responsibility. Again, we see here that God says, listen, of all the one anothering, the home is where I want to start. We talked about the explicit command to the children. We talked about the implicit command to the parents. But there's a promise with it, isn't it? Look at the promise in Exodus chapter 20. He says in verse 12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I look at that verse and you see God saying, hey, now this is an Old Testament. He said, hey, your days are going to be long. I'm going to bless your days. That doesn't mean you won't die. God sometimes will call somebody home for a different purpose. But it does mean that that he will bless your days on this earth. They will go slower. They will be extended. They'll be more joyful. They'll be more of a pleasure to you if you do these things. Kids, have you ever experienced that? When you really have honored your parents, you felt the blessing of the Lord on your days. The house was happier. There wasn't all these hard conversations that you aren't listening to them. You aren't obeying them. But it says that you will have the land. Now, in the Old Testament, he was talking about the promised land, the physical land. But when it's reiterated by Paul, they were not living in a particular land. They were all over the place. What he's talking about here, this promise of inheritance. God's children will honor their parents. God's children will obey their parents. God's children will enjoy the inheritance that comes through Christ Jesus. There is one exception to obeying and honoring your parents. And I mentioned it in a prayer earlier, and I'll just mention it briefly here. If your parents or any authority, I want you to hear me say this to all of us, ever tells you to do something that contradicts God's explicit commands, his commands that he's called you to do, you are to, in a very kind and loving, honorable way, tell them you can't do it. If your parents ever tell you that you are not to tell others about Jesus Christ, which I cannot imagine happening to any of you children here in the church, you say, Mom and Dad, I want to more than anything honor you. And I want to do what you tell me to, but I can't do what you've done because what you've done is you've asked me to do something that contradicts what God has called me to. And we don't make up stuff. God's called me to not do homework. There's no place in the Bible that you can support that with. Same thing with any authority. If I'm ever told by the governing civil authorities that God told, that Paul tells me has been placed over me by God and that he's sovereign over me, they tell me not to preach the gospel to my people, to the people I'm shepherding, or not to tell, say this is a sin or that's not, you know, to speak of truth. If I ever told not to do it, I would have to be willing to go to jail and keep proclaiming it with boldness. See, God doesn't want your authority to say, hey, whatever God says in the Bible, I'm going to tell you differently. They did what the king did to Daniel and said, I don't want anybody to pray. And Daniel said, oh, I'm going to keep praying. I want to honor you. I'm going to keep praying. Same thing with his other brothers in Christ. See, God calls us to perfect obedience to the law in order to be right with him, but we can't obey it perfectly, can we? But look at Jesus' example. Jesus did that. He honored his parents on this earth, even though, I mean, this is God in flesh. Mom and Dad don't get it. He honors his parents all throughout his life. Unless they told him to do something different than what the Father had commanded him to do, what he was sent to do. He even on the cross looks at his mother and says, behold your mother, honor her, take care of her. Even on the cross as a grown adult, he's thinking about his mom and her being taken care of. See, God has given us a great example in Christ when he said, oh, that this cup of wrath would pass me, but not my will, Father, your will. And he went to the cross for us who have disobeyed our parents and not honored them. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we really pursued obeying the Lord in this command? Can you imagine the impact it would have on a society, on a nation, if we really started elevating this command in our life and applying it to our life and saying, God, you know, you found it so important for me to obey and honor my parents that you made it the first commandment on how to relate to other people. And we said, Lord, help me to do that each day. Every day you get up, one of the first things you do, because you're going to be bombarded with opportunities to honor and obey your parents all the time. Get up, get in the car, go get your notebook, go get in the car, get ready, hurry, eat some breakfast. I'm going to obey quickly what God has placed over me. I'll close with this illustration. There was a wicked young man who was convicted of just horrible crimes. And the judge asked him if he had anything he would want to say, anything he would like to communicate to the court. And these were his words. This young man who was convicted of these horrible crimes. And this is to you parents in the role that we have. He said, I acknowledge and I admit all I have done. I acknowledge it. I've done it all. He said, but I want to tell you about something that has really been crucial in my life, that's impacted my life. He says, my parents brought me up to believe in God. And they brought me up to believe he didn't matter. This man was fallen astray because he'd been taught there was a God, but he was taught that his words did not matter. And Father, for each one of us brothers and sisters, may his word matter. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the home. I thank you for parents. I pray, Father, they would love you. Oh, they would love you. They would treasure your name. They would have nothing over you, and they would protect your day. And Father, that in Christ Jesus they would be right with you, and that you would give them all wisdom and understanding in regards to how to parent their children in the way that you have gifted them. Father, I pray that you would raise up men in our church and in our community that are submitted to leading their family spiritually and pursuing that like they pursue their careers, but to pursue knowing God better so they can better represent you. And our mamas, Lord, too, as well, strengthen them and encourage them to not only do that as well, but to help us pursue you and give them wisdom on how to approach that with us. And Father, that we would not discourage our children from obeying your command. And Father, I pray right now for our children here this morning that you would help them. Father, you would help them honor their parents. Even it's so hard. We're so self-centered and self-promoting, and it's such a struggle for us. I ask that you would help them honor their parents so that their days may be long and that they will have the inheritance of the land which is promised to your people, which is eternity in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close another with a hymn that is in regards to the home. And it is Happy the Home When God Is There. 611. 611. Hold on, Linda, before you start. We'll sing all four. Please stand.